Let's pray together. God, love is of you. We know that you are love, and every time we experience, appreciate, and embody love in this life, you are there. Thank you for giving us love on the cross, and Father, we just pray that as we come together this morning, that you form us, that we walk away not just a person, but we walk away a people. That we walk away a community that is united to be formed by Christ with our lives reoriented around not the things of this world, but reoriented around your word. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Well, good morning, family. It's good to see each other. Look at the person next to you. Say, welcome home. Welcome home. It's good to be a spiritual home together. And we are kind of doing a recap today of Ephesians. And so you can flip in your Bibles, open to Ephesians. We've been going through this the last 3 or 4 months, January, February, March, and April, all focusing on this one amazing book. And today we're emphasizing it before we move on. So often in this fast-paced society, you can have something great happen in your life. But because of your work schedule and your friend's schedule and your kid's schedule, you don't even get to process what just happened. And so in the church, we don't want to do that. We don't just want to kind of move in a direction for 4 months together as a fellowship, and then before we know it, just move on to something else without taking a moment to reflect and to remember what God has been guiding us through these last 4 months. So we're going to be emphasizing Ephesians this morning instead of just moving on to the next thing. So why Ephesians? Why did we choose Ephesians? We talked about it 4 months ago, but right at the beginning of every year, we really want to have our coming in season where we say, hey, let's really work on our walks with God. Let's develop our relationship with God. Let's draw near to God. And so we have our prayer and our fasting. We have a family group leaders meeting that's ministering to the ministers, right? Helping our leaders, the soul of their leadership. And then we have expository preaching. Expository means, instead of topical, where you're jumping around in different places with one topic, expository is when you stick in one section or one book and just kind of go line by line or paragraph by paragraph, letting the word soak in, right? So we do that every year. So when we came together, our curriculum group, and said, hey, what should we do, you know, the beginning of 2024? Well, we really chose Ephesians because the major themes in Ephesians goes right along with our vision, right? Walking the way of Jesus together in his spiritual family. We've talked about this. And then as we're kicking off this new vision, we really felt like, man, Ephesians is soaked with that. It's soaked with being made alive in Christ. And letting Christ form us and transform us into a new creation. It's soaked with the new humanity. In that how we're not just a person, but we are a people together, a new family. And so that's really why we chose Ephesians to go through. And I pray that it has been helpful for you. Where are we going next? We're not actually starting a new series right off the bat. We kind of got May celebrations, right? If you got kids in school, you know May is full of graduations and celebrations and all that kind of stuff. So next week, we're going to do a just extended communion. Because we got a special Mother's Day presentation we're talking about, and then the graduations. So we're gonna have an extended communion. And then the following Sunday on the 19th, it's Pentecost. That text is given to us, right? In Acts 2. We'll be studying that out together. Then we'll start our new series at the end of June. We thought you would appreciate the communication about where we're going. Amen. Amen. So let's really evaluate Ephesians. Let's talk about letting the Word of God form you. And I said flip to Ephesians. I was wrong. We're actually going to start in Matthew 13. You can flip over there, test your Bible knowledge. I won't do put your hand on top and see race there to get there first, but we'll go over to Matthew 13. Because as we're talking about, what did you get out of Ephesians, I thought before we jump in there, why don't we zoom out and talk about how to let the Word of God sink in our hearts? And how to let the Word of God just soak in. And what better, man ever to go learn about how to do that than Jesus himself. So let's read this in Matthew 13, and then we'll jump over into Ephesians and apply these principles. Matthew 13, it's one of Jesus' longest parables. And in verse 3, He starts out, he says, then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went to sow his seed. As he scattered the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, but because the soil was shallow, but the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no roots. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, which had produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. And we're so grateful the disciples were confused and wanted Jesus to explain it to them, because now we also can have the explanation. Amen. So verse 18. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their hearts. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they had no roots, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or even 30 times what was sown. Amen? You know, this is an incredible parable right here of Jesus talking about letting the word of God soak into your hearts. And before we look at Ephesians, I just want to talk about these four soils briefly and to say, which soil are you with the word of God? Well, now, a lot of us have heard these messages before, and maybe you have had good soil at certain times in your life. That doesn't mean your heart is soaking in the word of God now. You know, I've recently gotten into gardening. Is there any other gardeners in the room? Any other like green thumbs, you know? I don't know if my thumb is green or red or brown, but it's developing, right? So it's the second year in my little raised bed garden, and you can't just go out there and immediately plant. You have to do something to the soil. It's called amending the soil. So I went over to Home Depot, you know, and I bought cow poop, right? This manure. I never thought I'd have to pay for cow manure. My kids, you know, like to throw it at each other. We got to get them to stop. But we put it, you know, you mix it in the soil, right? You kind of get the manure up in there, the compost in there, get the fertilizer up in there before you plant. I don't know where your heart's at this morning as we walk through this. I don't know if you need some amending of your hearts. Some tilling of the soil of your hearts to let the word of God continue to sink in. Because there's these four soils, right? One was the path, you know, where it goes in one ear and out the other. The word of God kind of hits and just bounces off and has no impact and never takes roots. As we're talking about our Sunday series and we're talking about, hey, our Ephesians lessons and hearing the word of God in this context, We hear the word of God every morning as we dive into the word. Let's talk about it in this context. When you come on Sunday mornings, does the word of God go in one ear and out the other? Or does it sink in? You know, if I'm honest, this is the one in these four that I can struggle with the most on Sunday mornings, because I can be so distracted. I'm wondering like, hey, was that the right song? Or is the person before them know that they got to go up and speak? Or next time, Jeff and Chase, let's do this. Or hey, I got to go to the bathroom before I speak. I got to run out. Like whatever. I can be so distracted in service. And Toya even has gotten on to me. She's like, babe, put your phone down. Sometimes I'm distracted by you in service because you're just texting the whole time. Thank you. Your wife always helps you know what soil you're at. Amen. It's just really, really helpful. But do you let... you come here, you form your week around coming and hearing the word of God, saying, my week isn't controlled by the things of this world. The gravity of my life is worshiping and hearing the word of God. So don't come here and let it bounce off your heart and just not make an impact. Let it take roots.
The rocky, we don't want to be the path. We don't want to be the rocks either, where we receive it with joy. We get excited about it, but it doesn't take roots. Maybe you get excited and you have a conversation about it right after church, but you never talk about it again. It never has a chance to go back and take root to have a lasting effect. We don't want to be those people of the thorns that are planted amongst the thorns, where maybe we've been doing this for a long time, but slowly but surely, the worries of this world start to be the center of who we are instead of God being the center of who we are. Or it says the deceitfulness of wealth can steal your soul away. Let us not be those people. Where we hear the word of God on Sunday, but then we can barely think about it the rest of the week because all that's controlling our brain the rest of the week is our careers and our jobs and our bank account and our retirements. Amen. Let's let the word of God control us the whole week, amen? And then we don't want to be those people. We want to be the good soil. The good soil, where the word makes a lasting impact, 30, 60, and 100 times what you could ever imagine. I love what Tereji was just sharing, that there's this paradox in Christianity. When you let go, you receive. But when you cling to the deceitfulness of wealth, it gets taken away. We have to never forget Jesus' teachings in Luke 9, that for those of us, for him who loses their life, will save it. But he who tries to save his life will lose it. Okay, so Matthew 13, we're talking about this. Let's talk briefly before Ephesians. You know, all four soils heard the word, but not all four soils were transformed by the word. I am so grateful we are people that week in and week out wants to come worship God, wants to come fellowship, wants to come hear the word of God preached. But the goal isn't just to hear the word. The goal, as Jesus says in Matthew 7, is to put it into practice and let it sink in. How have you done with this with our series in Ephesians? Just honestly. Because I think if we're not careful, this can become a routine for us to go to church rather than a time I'm looking to be transformed by the word of God. So the good soil is someone who desires the word of God to transform them and then prioritizes its influence in their life. So you have to have a desire to want this time to transform you, not because of the speaker or who's on stage or who's sitting next to you, but because of the word of God, right? You have to have a desire for that, but then you got to prioritize its influence tomorrow and the next day and on Wednesday to let it continue to soak in. Are you following? So before we talk about Ephesians, I just want to actually brag on some of you guys because there's so many incredible followers of Jesus in this room that have really good habits that let the Sunday message sink in. So I just want to talk about four good habits of good soil to let the Sunday message sink into your hearts, okay? So number one, review scriptures from the lesson in your quiet times, right? Y'all remember the Bereans, where they eagerly examine the word of God every day to see if what Paul was saying was true. That's not just a passage for young Christians. That's a passage for all of us to say, I hear this on Sunday, let me internalize it. I love whether it's Curling Eldred or Noel Broyles. So many of you guys are saying, man, I'm so excited to read Ephesians. I've been diving into it my own time. The scriptures we threw up there we couldn't get into, that's my quiet times for the week. I can't wait to dive into that. Where you've decided if this is the direction the church is going, then that's the direction I'm going. Because I'm here and I'm centered with us as, I'm not just a person, I'm a people. What's another one? Get a spiritual book on the topic. I remember about a year and a half ago, I got with the Shermers, and the Shermers said that their family group had gotten a book on the Sermon on the Mount. Y'all remember our Sermon on the Mount series? So their family group had said, we're not just going to go and sit there week in and week out and just hope that we change. No, we're going to go get a book on it, and we're going to study it out together because we want to grow in this. If this is the direction that the church is going, we want to do that together. Get a spiritual book on the topic. Talk about it with your family, your friends, and your family group. Guys, I know this isn't like rocket science. This is basics. But having a soft heart is basic. Yeah. We just can't abandon the basics. You know, in our family group, Rob Rosador is the king of talking about what happened on Sunday, right? I don't know if you have one of those guys in your family group where when it's their time to leave the group, well, this is what we talk about on Sunday, so flip over there. That's what we're talking about this week, you know, in family group. But he's so good at that. But then it was a few weeks ago after Toy and I did the marriage lesson, and he came up to me. I've talked to all these people to see if I can use their names. Amen. All right. So... And he came to me and said, "Bro, you got me in trouble with that lesson, man." And I said, "What do you mean? How did I get you in trouble?" He said, "Well, it was a good trouble. You want to get in good trouble." But on the way, we had a long car ride, my wife and I, after that message. And we just had this long talk about our marriage and applying those things. And bro, I got so much to grow in. Thank you. And I'm trying to develop a plan to grow in. And I respect that. To not just let it stay right here in the building, but to take it home into your family, to take it home into your marriage, to take it home into your family group, to say, we are bought in and we're going to grow together into Christ. I respect Rob for that. How about this one? Put into practice the practicals. We already said in Matthew 7 when Jesus is talking about the two houses. You remember that? Where there's one house on the sand that crumbles, there's one house on the rock. Both heard the message. Whoever hears these words of mine, just like these four soils. The difference, if you remember, we already said it once, is that the one on the rock hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. I've been asked, hey, why do we have practicals every week? It's literally for me because of that scripture. Because if we just hear something and don't let it affect our lives, I'm worried we'll become those people on the sand. And no, you might not be able to do every single practical, or maybe you're not going to do the practicals we said because God and the Spirit put a different one on you. But let's hear the word and put it into practice. Literally on Friday, guys, like a mature brother in the church, been a disciple for decades, he's one of our leaders, called me on Friday and said, "Where are you?" I said, "I'm at Panera. Why?" And he said, "Bro, I'm coming to you." I said, "Oh, okay." And so then he shows up, you know, like whatever, a little bit later. And he says, "Man, Michael's lesson blew me away. I was so convicted. I have been living with a perspective of lack in my life instead of a perspective of abundance. And I haven't felt this repentant in so long." And then I need to get advice from you. And because I want to do this, this, and this with my work and my career and how I'm thinking. And I've been talking to other leaders. I'm just trying to talk to as many people as possible because I'm so convicted and want to change. He had put it into practice. He had put it into practice. That is inspiring to me. And so my question for you guys is, are you all in still for letting the Word of God change your life? That doesn't just stay decades ago or a year ago, but this year, this month, this series, are you all in? When the church says, hey, we're going in this direction, not that you don't have other things you're studying out or sometimes your family group decides to read a different book, that's awesome. But when the church says we're going in this direction, are you bought in? Are you bought in to say, no, I'm part of the people. We're all growing together. We're all in this together. We're being formed into Christ together. That together we all make one good disciple, because none of us can do it on our own. That it's all of us together. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's go to Ephesians now. Here we go. Ephesians. Now let's have good soil with Ephesians. We can flip over there. And guys, we just went through this incredible book in the Bible. And before we move on to the next thing, we just want to say, hey, what did you take out of it? Let's just take a moment to remember these incredible teachings of the scripture and to dive in and to let it sink in. And I hope that as we talk through this, that you can be reminded of maybe there was a lesson or a passage or a concept that really pricked your heart, that the Spirit really moved you. And you got excited about it, maybe talked to one or two people about it, but it's been a few weeks since you've addressed it. And the goal of this, as we recap and kind of review, is the hope that the Spirit can bring that back up again. And that you can recapture that conviction, and this time let it sink in towards lasting change. Amen? Okay, so did you let this book take root in your life? And we want to just take a moment to let our hearts be soft, and we just want to review a bunch of different concepts that we talked about, not all of them that we talked about, but a few on these two major themes in Ephesians, being made alive in Christ and the new humanity, right? So here's the first one, right? We talk about being made alive in Christ. We're going to look at some scriptures together in Ephesians. Can we do that? It's not going to be on the screen. Take out your word, whip out your phone, whatever you're doing. But let's go to Ephesians 2. Let's just talk about some of these awesome passages. Ephesians 2, we talked about being saved by grace, of going from death to life. In verse 3, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his what? His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, verse 5, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. And it is by grace that you have been saved. Praise God. The transformation of us continuing to become like Christ starts with us going from death to life. What a powerful moment. And maybe for you, you're in the crowd and you haven't experienced that this morning. You haven't experienced going from death to life yet. It has been so encouraging seeing Kenyon and Kiki getting baptized into Christ on Wednesday. That was so powerful. And actually, Mercy is going to do that today and go from death to life and get baptized at the end of service. We're so excited for you, Mercy. We talked about anger and forgiveness. If you go over to Ephesians 4. In Ephesians 4 and verse 26. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. We had an awesome analogy with that, right? Maybe the Spirit pricked you during that lesson about really wanting to grow in your anger and letting the Spirit bear fruit of peace and of love in your life instead of anger, but you haven't really followed up. Don't just let those spirits prompting go in one ear and out the other. Let it last. We talked about forgiveness in verse 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Toya shared a powerful example of God taking her from bitterness or anger to forgiveness and love with her father. And I know so many of us after that were pricked, and y'all talk to me or y'all talk to Toya of, man, I want to rethink through some relationships in my family. Or maybe that person in my life or that family member or that friend, I haven't really forgiven, even though I thought I did. And don't let that just stay there. The point of service, of hearing the word, no, you're not going to get changed by one message. The point of it is the Spirit to convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. But then for us to continue to follow the Spirit for the change to happen. If you are pricked by that, I would encourage you to have that conversation. Reach out to that family member and follow through. Let's continue. We talked about marriage and parenting in Ephesians 5. We talked about marriage, about wives submitting to their husband's leadership and husbands sacrificing their needs for their wives' needs in verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. In verse 25 of Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. This is the one that stuck with me. And, you know, in our life, we got two incredible boys. They're amazing, but they're either at best friends or they hate each other. You know how that goes, right? And then we got the house and something is always breaking, right? And then, you know, we're 6 months pregnant. We're so excited, but my life right now and my wife right now is demanding a lot more of me than my selfishness wants. You know how that goes, right? And I need to, like, it's kind of like I'm in a video game. My selflessness needs to level up, right? I need to get a double bounce, you know, in selflessness, right? Like, I gotta get that extra strength. And I've had to really focus on sacrificing my needs for the needs of my wife. And it's so much more apparent right now with my wife as we're in pregnancy with two kids. And I'm grateful that God is convicting me and helping me grow in that. We talked about parenting, you know, in Ephesians 6. Let's look at this one. Ephesians 6, verse 10, about being strong in the Lord. Jeff did this a few weeks ago. I've gone back and listened to it several times. In verse 10, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. I love when Jeff went through, that's a major theme in Ephesians about in Christ, in his power, drawing strength from the Lord. Maybe that's what prompted you. Of, man, am I really in Christ? Am I living in Christ in that meeting at work? Maybe that prompted you. Don't just let it stay there. Are you guys following? Let's go over to the new humanity, and review a couple more, and then we'll wrap up together. The new humanity. So just as a side story right here on the new humanity, my son, Camden, is doing T-ball for the first time. Right, T-ball, 5 and under, and I'm the head coach. Awesome, right? And while other teams are kind of like, you know, strong names, like Rawhide is another team, our team name is really intimidating. We are the Biscuits. We're the Biscuits, right? We want them to be hungry when they play us, right? And so we're the Biscuits, and they're forming a new humanity on the field. You know what I'm saying? Because it's T-ball, right? 5 and under. So they hit the ball after 8 tries, right? And then when the ball goes, it doesn't matter where you're standing. It could be going straight to first base. Third baseman is running to the ball, right? And then when they get the ball, it's a dog pile, right? And then if you don't get the ball, you cry because you didn't get the ball. You know, it's like one of those things. So all last practice, we had 2 goals. Guys, there's this phrase called, I got it, right? When you think you got the ball, just say, I got it. And if your teammate says, I got it, what do? I run to the ball. No, you let them get it. And then when they get the ball, what do? I cry because I didn't get the ball. No, you say, good job, right? It was those 2 phrases. That was practice, right? And so we just hit, right? Say, I got it. Say, good job, right? It was just the whole thing. They're forming a new humanity on that baseball field, all right? It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. So that's been a blast. It's Saturdays at 9:30. You can come watch us. It's a blast. Anyways, you might get a ball thrown, not hit with a ball, but a ball. They're trying to throw to home plate, and they throw it into the stands, right? But new humanity, let's do this. Ephesians 2, this is where this phrase comes from. It's the other major theme in Ephesians, that we're not a person, we are a people. Ephesians 2, verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier. He's destroyed the dividing wall of hostility by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose, God, when it talks about God's purpose, that's when your ears prick up. If God has a purpose in something, that's something we should listen to. So God's purpose was to create in himself one, what? New humanity out of the two, thus making peace. What a privilege it is that we don't have to live the world's way of being human, but we can live God's way of being human. The perfect, whole, centered way. The way that when he created life and he indestined in us love and joy and peace, that we can learn what it means to live life that way. Yeah. And that we don't have to do it alone. You don't have to go through this life alone. That you can be part of something so much bigger than yourself. This new humanity. God is forming us not just to be a church of people that come together, but God is forming North River into the new humanity. What a blessing that is. We talked about unity of the Spirit. Let's flip down to Ephesians 4 in the body of Christ. Ephesians 4 and verse 15. This will be the last one we look at. Talking about the body of Christ in verse 15. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head. That is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. What a beautiful picture of the body of Christ, that this church cannot happen with any one of us alone, that it takes all of us, that it's with supporting ligaments we take care of each other. I love that we got to talk about our prayer requests on Wednesday nights. What an incredible way we support one another by praying for one another. That each part grows and does its work. That our goal of our relationships is that we can help each other grow into Christ. That we're not just here to talk about the game last night, even though Ant went crazy last night against the Nuggets. That's a different story. But we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about how Christ can help us grow. And then he says how each part does its work. Not how 20% do 80% of the work, but how each part does its work. And I just want to thank you, North River. Thank you for everyone that does its work, that you're bought in, that you serve in Kids Kingdom, that you lead your family group, that you bring dinner to family group, that you come and you work security or the parking, or that you sing, or you get with that brother and sister over coffee and you pray over them, or you study the Bible with that person. This doesn't happen without all of us doing our work. And isn't that an incredible example of what Generosity Sunday is? That, man, our goal is $450,000. Maybe some of you guys could just drop that like it was nothing, but I can't, right? But it takes all of us to say, hey, we care about more than what we can just see. We care about those out there that we can't see. And that it takes each one of us to give and to sacrifice and to be generous. And what does that do? It forms us together around the Word of God. And each part does this work that also happens globally. Where globally each part does its work. In the churches that we support in the Caribbean, and in Africa, and in Europe, Eastern Europe, that don't have funds to have a building or don't have funds to have ministers, where we're doing our part to do our work. And we're saying, hey, we got some more funds here in America. We're gonna go, we're gonna pray, we're gonna do leadership for you guys. But hey, if you need funds too, then we're gonna do our part of the job. And we'll give you guys some money so that you can have what you do not. Even globally, not just individual members, us as a congregation, we're part of something so much bigger than ourselves. And we get to help others by each part doing its work. Guys, it's been an incredible series here in Ephesians. We went through other concepts here, but we just wanted to pause today and say, don't just leave this in the beginning of 2024. If you feel like, you know what, man, I'm convicted, I kind of let this go in one ear out the other, it's okay. I would encourage you these next couple weeks to dive into Ephesians and read Ephesians. And whatever section or passage or word stuck out to you, look back and go listen to that message. Look back and go hear some teaching on it. All of them are categorized. We can go back and continue to learn and to grow together. Amen? I'm going to close us out here in Ephesians chapter 4 and just read verse 11 to 13 over you guys as we close. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers, in verse 12, to equip his people for the works of service, so that the body of Christ, so that North River Church of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. It's a blessing to be a member of North River, to be a part of this family. Let us grow together to be fully united so that we one day can have the full measure of the wholeness of Christ. Amen.